1st, 1979, and part two of our interview with him. For part two of an interview.
And when you first came to Elwood City, Was it also to accept the pulpit there, or was it more to study?
I came out to psychology department. But in the same time, they discovered that I am there, and so I moved to Albert City, and I got that apartment, and they paid me very nice, and I had the salary. So I worked there 3 years, from 1967 until from 1968 until 1971, we moved to Pittsburgh, that I got here. Here, I think they tell you the whole thing. I got here in a very good position. I consider it very good. I don't know somebody else who considers it, but I consider it very good to have a nice, quiet life. And I'm doing my good job, and everybody enjoys what I'm doing. So I consider it for a time.
What is your official position?
Chaplain.
Chaplain of many state hospitals?
I'm a chaplain. I will show you my chaplain.
Then as of 1971, you have been chaplain of these many hospitals in
America? I started in the beginning with six. Little by little I went out, and they discovered that I was a good chaplain. So they gave me another hospital. And all this is safe there, but I'm not getting paid at the moment. I have today seven places that I'm getting paid from the state. The other places I'm 100% volunteer. I go there as a volunteer. I work there as a volunteer because there are Jewish kids, and I would like to help them as much as I can. So they're not paying me anything. But in seven places I'm getting paid.
Could you name those seven places for a place?
Okay, you have here Paul's place, then it's Dixon, and then it's Weston, Evansville, Crescent, Warren, you have Warren?
No, that's different. That's
not. Marcy.
That's it, that's seven.
And you also, in addition.
It was the eighth, I had also parents.
In addition to that, I see you also go to Allegheny Valley Junior School and Senior School. Altoona Center, the Highland Center, Robinson Development Center, and State Correctional Institution of Huntington, in addition to all the ones that you mentioned.
Huntington, when I go to Huntington, I'm getting paid for the this is a prison. It is also, that has nothing to do with hospitals. The correctional institution, Huntington, is a prison. And there I'm getting paid there, I go. But I'm not going too often because it's almost 25 miles. So I decided when I got older. I used to go there every week or the second. But I decided when I came.
What type of work do you do when you're there?
We have a beautiful region. There in a prison, there isn't always the same and the same amount of inmates. They're coming in and out. It was a time I had 12 Jewish prisoners in Huntington. So we had our Bible class, Chumash class, and they enjoyed it very much. They know they're very smart inmates. They know what to ask, and they understand, and they're asking very good questions. They had a really wonderful class.
We bring them food also.
And we have bringing food, and I'm allowed to bring in the kosher food, and we have always a very delicious lunch, and we sit together and drink together.
Have you followed any of these inmates after they've been released?
Not here. I was a chaplain when I was in Southern Illinois University. They opened up a federal prison twice had electricity in Marion, Illinois. It was one of the most beautiful prisons in the United States. So the outlet they closed up and they opened up in there. So I was there.
Then that's a very large crime prison. Very heavy security.
It's a federal prison. We had the old time. We had the lawyers for inmates, doctors, accountants. It's not the plain prisoners that we have here. My wife used to make the paper. I think I told you this story. She used to be up a few nights before paper and prepared to do the teaching. We made us say that there once, and I was crying with them, was that the prisoners were not plain people. They left families in the house, and they reminded themselves of some paper, how beautiful it was. So we were sitting there and crying. We had 22 Jewish inmates. And we made a beautiful thing. My wife was with me. I think that she had the picture of me. And it was a beautiful thing. I still remember. It started a long time ago. How long is it? 16 years.
I see that you've learned the art of communicating with many people through food, and you're very famous for always carrying your food and your salami sandwiches.
Yes, my wife helps me. She makes it. She's called the sandwich.
I have a lot of me.
When you go to the state hospitals now, you're always carrying food also?
Always. I never come without.
And they look forward to that.
They look forward to that, but they got so used to me. If I would come without food, they would accept me. But the food did it. I mean, I personally think the food stuff. If I will give you my research that I made, so you will see the food did a lot. And the food stopped. And this is the whole research, if they needed the food, they would come to services without the food, or the food is a reinforcement to come to services. This is the research that I made. And I worked in it very hard. But they accept it, and this is a good research for operant conditioning. You know that operant conditioning. This is a research they can use it in. But for studies, how it works.
Mm-hmm. I see that you actually published this in the Journal of...
I can give you one of the publishing.
The publication is entitled The Effect of Food on Psychiatric Patients' Attendance at Religious Services, and it was published in the Journal of Pastoral Care in March of 1969.
Okay.
It was published before in the journal.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that, since you have worked so...
Okay, the paper, what I did, in short, the research was, I started to give them sandwiches for 3 months. I have to give you just a picture how it worked. So I gave them sandwiches for 3 months.
Was this working with mental patients?
Mental patients.
Yes, okay. Children or adults or both?
It was 29, but all ages.
Okay.
So we gave them 3 months, I gave them sandwiches. I wrote down, or I made exact how many are coming, the congregation, if the congregation got larger, for giving sandwiches. Then suddenly I stopped the sandwiches. I told them that I had no money to buy any more food. And I wanted to see if this will knock them down. One day I came and I told them, you should know my money has money, now no more money, and I cannot buy any more salami and all this. wanted to see if it will go down. It went down. I see some 29 feet stop coming. But there was different kind of reasons. We were not sure if they stopped coming because of the sandwiches or they stopped coming for other reasons. Because the research could not work. There are reasons people, sick people, who they're very happy to go out from there. They're sitting all day in one room, locked up, especially 15 years ago. Now it's much better. They are very anxious to get out from the place where they are sitting. So it's possible they came to services not because of the services, not because of the services. They came because just to get out from there. So this we have to control. All this went through a lot of effort. It took me 14 months to work out all this. And then I made the research. It was a beautiful thing. I wrote approximately 112 pages, but they shortened because the universities don't like too much religion. I explained them, I have a whole explanation what kosher food means and what sandwiches means and what all this. It was a whole explanation. It was a lot of work put in it. But that was left, that's what the university accepted. The end of the research university. And this was the whole thing. It looks like for a people that they are not in it, it looks for them just not a great thing. But in my time then, when the deans and even the president of the university, it's a university with 28,000 students, they were very excited because they never had a research like that really. And it was a research I worked with all kinds of people, with the doctors, with the nurses.
Were you able to reach some conclusion?
Yeah, here you have a conclusion. The conclusion is not 100% conclusion. It's still in doubt.
But did you feel that perhaps one by associating services with the food in a good aspect, even originally, that they had more positive feelings toward this experience? The fact that they liked food at the beginning and therefore associated it with the religious services, could they have thought good feelings about the two together?
They had good feelings from the religion because of the sandwiches brought them in to have services, to come to services. That was the thing.
Yes.
And that's the reason they were staying in. They were still keeping coming because they
imagined nice things associated with it.
That answer. Uh-huh. I mean, the answer is plain. They got used, maybe you are right, they got used to the services. So they enjoyed later on the services so much that they were not interested anymore in the
right, they didn't
sandwich.
Need that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They didn't need the reinforcement anymore from the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Because they started to enjoy the same thing I have now. If I will give them sandwiches, all the hospitals, if I will give them the sandwiches or not, they will come to the services because they enjoy already the singing and the talking, and they enjoy me, and we are very good friends. They hug me, they keep me there. I have my wife that sometimes tells me that it's too much, but she is right. But sometimes it's very good. They are like my own children. And this helps a lot.
Sometimes I say that among
such types of people, there might be that they have some physical sickness in themselves, aging.
They kiss me.
So that's why I
objected. Many other people might not be as encouraged to work with retarded people as you have been, and literally to be part of the family as you have been their father image and caring and giving them love. Why do you think so many people are afraid of this kind of work?
Again, I've been through a lot in my life, and I cannot understand that. I think I told you already this. I'm not sure what we talked the first time, but we had a dinner for the retarded children. I brought 150 children, and one of the ladies told me, "Rabbi, how could you do such a thing to make a dinner? We cannot tell. And cold, and we should sit together and eat together." I vomit. I would vomit 5 times before that if I would see that they're eating. How could be confusing. I answered the lady, "A beautiful and nice letter, but it's a life letter." But my opinion is, I think after vomiting, you should grab a taxi. So you vomit here and go home and stop it and eat your dinner. So this is because I couldn't stand the expression, I vomit. But there are, and I had different kind of complaints about such things, how I shouldn't bring the children, they should sit together. There are ladies, and people told me when I had pulpit and I took ladies with me, even told them I'm annoyed. I worked in a couple of hospitals. So they, and I took them with me, so they always, from my congregation, the ladies told me later on, "Rabbi, don't take us to places like that anymore. They would like I should take them to something else. You know, there are a lot of beautiful places to go. But this place, they didn't like." And I don't understand. I mean, I can understand. I mean, everybody's afraid. They cannot look. What for me is a pleasure. Take my wife. In the beginning, she went with me. She couldn't smell. You come into the hospital, you go into schizophrenic. If you go into a ward where schizophrenics is, you can smell that there are schizophrenics. And so it's not easy to take it to be able to. But the reason for it is we are human beings. There are lots of different kinds of people. Some people enjoy it. I just enjoy my smell.
It's not the enjoyment. Excuse me. I don't think it's not the enjoyment that you have from it. The enjoyment is when you see what you are accomplishing with them. You have self-contentment from that. This is the enjoyment. I can't say that you have direct enjoyment when you come in with these people like my husband has an empty smell.
Maybe he does.
Is
your satisfaction more from what you is it a combination of what you accomplish and the people themselves getting to know them?
I enjoy to see the people how they like me. I don't think so because of liking me. I see they start to understand. I accomplished, do you want me to praise myself? I accomplished a lot of this feat. Let's see, I took out a nice few people from the institutions, and they're working now, and they're making a living. One girl works here at Howard Johnson. She makes now $108. And she was 22 years, she was locked up in court. And if not me, she would still be there. And now she started with $60, and she makes now $108. And she's a normal person. I mean, it was my work. I mean, I counseled her. She was a lost person. She's dead.
That's what I mean. Isn't that self-satisfaction?
Tremendous. And it's also a contribution to society as a whole, because society certainly would prefer the people to be working rather than to be institutionalized. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some other examples of specific cases where you found it very satisfying?
Yeah, I have four boys working in washing cars. They have to be thankful to me. I got them in jail. I was in Southern Illinois. I accomplished a lot in placement. I went around my life to look in small towns for restaurants, for different motels to take in my people
And I explained them how good it is to have a person. And that helped a lot. And it's a great thing. You have to know a person that is sick, if he gets a job and he makes a few dollars, they don't know in the beginning even what money is. They were locked up 22 years and never saw a dollar in their hand. But they come in and they can go to buy in the grocery by themselves. And this is their greatest pleasure that can be. And I went around and explained to the owners of the motels, the owners of the restaurants, please take these people. You will be more happy than you ever. You will take anyone, a normal person. They will let you. They will get a better job. These people, if they get a job, they will stay there. They will never get out because they are afraid they will not get another job. And they will work, and they are working to satisfy the owner. This is their whole world. They are so anxious to satisfy because they are afraid they will fire them. And we have. I gave you an article from Korea about a sick person. It's the mental retardant of the mental illness. If they get a job, they are doing. They're the best workers. And that was my policy. And I placed a lot of people. I was in the placement business. And I went around from town to town. This was years ago, but here I'm not doing that.
Is there no one that is doing this?
Okay, they have placement counselors, but they cannot do the job. They had respect from an old man, a rabbi. You have to be a personality, some kind of personality, to be able to talk, to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's just a young boy comes and tells him, they promise him, but sometimes.
In addition to your degree as a psychologist, you feel that these other assets of your rabbinic training and your ability as a human being to care and to relate to them is what's really won them over and helped them relate to you.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, I'm not sure, but I think so. It helps. They see an older man and comes in and talks to them. That was my opinion always. They agreed with me in the university. They agreed with me because I did them a good job there. They couldn't understand. They came home after a day of food, driving around, and brought in so many other sick people
Was there anyone in the Pittsburgh area that was working with the Jewish mentally ill patients before you arrived in the same year?
We have here two hospitals, Mayview Woodville.
Mm-hmm.
Mayview and Woodville had Rabbi Weston. Was a chaplain there for some years. He was, when I came here, it was already from the other chaplain. But just in these two hospitals, the other hospitals had no chaplain. And that's the reason I started. I was in Albuquerque there, worked in psychology in Newcastle, and I worked there. So I discovered, somebody told me there is a hospital called just 60 miles from there. And there was in this time 167 Jewish patients in Poland. It was a hospital from 5,000 people. So, and there is no Jewish chaplain. So I went there a year and a half. Nobody could understand how I did it. A year and a half, just as a volunteer, I took up my rabbinical business, and I ran there for twice a week, just as a volunteer. But later on, they decided that not the right way. All the chaplains are getting paid to Catholic substance. And they need a Jewish chaplain, so I started to get there. That was my first place. And from this, the superintendent then was so happy that I turned, he said, oh, if you took the boat and turned upside down. And he got me all, and he called up all the superintendents, this man will give you. And he gave me, if through him I had approximately old, not old, but approximately. And he called Harrisburg, he gave Harrisburg help. He was a very good man, Dr. McClellan. And then he helped me. He helped me and he helped the Jewish children. And now I have 300.
Was this the county commissioner from Allegheny County?
No.
No. Superintendent of...
Superintendent of Post-Base School.
Do you feel that you need help now? That you could use additional help to do what you were doing?
I want you to help me?
Yes.
To help me is now what I do, to go around in this place. Okay, I'm getting a little weaker than I used to be. So I think I need, if somebody else would. There are not too many people that they, as you said before, that they like to use this kind of work. But it would be a great thing if people would be more interested in, they would do something and become so much to help. We have now a problem. And I don't know what to do with this problem. We have a problem. The state decided to take, the Pope used to have 4,000 patients. Now Pope has 2,100 or 1,980, I think, was the last time. They took 50%. They took 50% from this patient and put them in private houses. There are people that they, poor people, they like to take in, and the state pays $125 a week. So they found a lot of private houses that they take, they don't need medicine, they don't need doctors anymore. So they're older people. So they take them out from the hospitals and divide in private houses, or in old age homes, or in nurseries, in different kind of places. So if a Jew comes, they took one of my best, he was a good friend of mine. We worked together all the time since I'm here. And he's a very fine old man. He's already 83 years. They put him 200 miles from here. And he called me once, long distance, Rabbi, please have to get me. I'm the only Jew in 200 people. Nobody comes to see me. Oh, they have priests and they have ministers in the small towns. But there isn't any rabbi somewhere out, 80 zones, or somewhere else.